Yes. Well, the next 2 weeks are going to be really, really exciting weeks for us here at Bethel Church. Of course, a great Easter weekend. I think I'm extra excited because last year, if you remember, we didn't get to do a live service Easter Sunday. So it's been a couple of years since we've had that experience. So I'm really, really looking forward to Easter weekend. But also the following Sunday, we have Evangelist Sean Smith, who is an incredible communicator. He's going to be with us both morning services and then back again for an evening service. It's going to be a great, great 2 weeks. And invite people, be a part of what God is doing here at Bethel Church. Now, tomorrow night at our regular Monday night prayer meeting, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock right here in the sanctuary, we're going to be praying specifically for next weekend, for Friday night and Sunday. And so I hope you can join us tomorrow night because we need the Lord to show up, right? We need God to move and God to touch people's lives, and that's what we all want. So prayer tomorrow, 7 o'clock. One of my great and actually privileged responsibilities that I have as a pastor is to stand with families during the passing of a loved one, to meet with them and help them plan a memorial service, oftentimes to be the person conducting that services and to be there at the graveside with families. I actually consider this a really sacred responsibility. And those of you who have been there, you've stood there, you know this. You know that it's faith in Jesus Christ, knowing that he has defeated death, and knowing that our loved one has gone to be with the Lord and we're going to see them again someday, that makes all the difference in the world in those times. It really does. Because for a Christian, when it's over, it's not really over. In fact, in many ways, when it's over here, we've really just begun our real life. So this morning, we're gonna be talking about what happens when we die. As we've been exploring the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this is one of the really, really exciting outcomes of Jesus' resurrection, is that since Jesus has been raised from the dead, those who have been called by Christ, those who have been redeemed by Christ, those who have given their life to Christ, we also will share in that resurrection power. Yeah. And so our title today is Goodbye Death, Hello Life. Goodbye Death, Hello Life. And we're going to be going after this question, what happens when I die? So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to hang out here for a little bit if you want to find that in your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because a question has come up in the church in Corinth, evidently. And people are questioning whether raising from the dead is a real thing. And they're wondering, what happens when we die. And for some of them, this teaching has come into the church, evidently, that when you die, it's just over, that's it. For those who had died before Christ returned, they just thought they were, eternally gone. And so Paul is correcting this teaching, beginning at verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you take your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word that I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins. Notice, Paul says, this is the most important thing. This is of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. Now, just notice the urgency here that Paul is reasoning with because of this false teaching. This is so important. Everything hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we go down to verse 12, But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there's no resurrection from the dead? I love his reasoning here. If there's no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your... Pretty strong words there, right? Go down to verse 16. If the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Wow. Remember this, church. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Amen? Our hope isn't in just what we experience here and now. Even though God does some good things and good things happen in our lives in this life, man, is nothing compared to what God has for us in the future. Yeah. So live for that. Now the good news. Verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Say amen. He has indeed been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also came through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Hallelujah. So notice that Paul says of Christ's resurrection from the dead that Jesus is the first fruits of those who have died. So Jesus' resurrection from the dead is just the beginning. He's just the first one. And following that, because he has defeated death, those who have put their faith in him, we also have resurrection hope. Amen? Yeah. So the sin of Adam and Eve, their rebellion led to death, but the obedient sacrifice of Christ leads us to life. And this really speaks to the question of why. Why the resurrection? Why does God promise to raise our bodies from death? Why doesn't God just give us, you know, a completely different body? Because he could do that. Why raise our body that's died back to life? Well, here's why. It's because everything that was lost in the garden is reclaimed and restored by Jesus. The devil is not going to get one single victory, right? So as death came as the result of sin, so through Christ now, we have resurrection life. And even death is defeated as God raises our bodies from the dead and transforms them into a new body. Every bit that was undone by the rebellion of Adam and Eve and the sin in the garden, God is going to restore, including resurrecting our bodies. So when Christ returns, our physical bodies are going to literally, physically be resurrected from the dead. Those who have died in Christ are going to come out of their graves and be miraculously, powerfully transformed. You say, how about people that have, you know, been burned in a fire or drown in the ocean, sharks ate their body, you know, crazy stuff like that. Ah, look, guys, it's all a miracle, right? It's all a miracle. God's going to do it. He's going to bring those bodies back together. He's going to transform them and change them, and it's going to be a miracle that we will experience for the rest of eternity. Go down to verse 51 where it says this, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. So he's talking about death. What he's saying here is not everybody is going to taste death. Some of us are going to be here when Jesus comes back, right? Not all will sleep, But we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. So what are these new bodies going to be like? Well, we don't know exactly, but Paul uses a couple of pretty profound words here. He says they're going to be imperishable, okay, unlike our earthly bodies now. They're going to be imperishable, and they're going to be immortal. It's going to be something totally different from what we know right now. Imperishable, immortal. If you go back a few verses, verses 42 to 45, Paul gives a couple of other words. He says of our new bodies that they will have glory, that they will have power. Someone say amen to that. And that they're going to be spiritual. That doesn't mean they won't be physical, but it's going to be a different kind of physical. Okay? So pretty good list of words there of what your new body is going to be like. It's going to be imperishable, immortal. It's going to have glory. It's going to have power. It's going to be spiritual. So our new bodies will not be subject to any of the weaknesses that our earthly bodies have right now. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, also he says, we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. So what does this mean? No more death. Never again. No more funerals. Revelation 21 says God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. No death, no disease, no pain, no sickness, no viruses. No diabetes, no cancer, no high blood pressure. How about this? No Alzheimer's or dementia. Not even headaches. Right? None of the frailties we now experience are going to be a part of our future. Hallelujah. Joni Erickson Tada, I have a quote from her, but I want to, if you've not heard of Joni Erickson Tada, she's an amazing woman. As a young woman, she became paralyzed in a diving accident. But rather than giving in to depression and morbidity, she's a born-again child of God, and she lives a life just incredible, incredible conquering spirit, and has done so much for someone who's paralyzed from the neck down. She's lived an amazing life. But even Joni says, look, one of the things that I'm excited about is the fact that when I get to heaven, I get a new body. And she writes, I can still hardly believe it. I, with shriveled, bent fingers, atrophied muscles, gnarled knees, and no feeling from the shoulders down, will one day have a new body, light, bright, and clothed in righteousness, powerful and dazzling. Can you imagine the hope this gives someone spinal cord injured like me? Or someone who is cerebral palsy, brain injured, or who has multiple sclerosis? Imagine the hope this gives someone who's manic depressive. No other religion, no other philosophy promises new bodies, hearts, and minds. Only in the gospel of Christ do hurting people find such incredible hope. Yeah. So how's this going to happen? How is this transformation going to take place? Look at this great promise, Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Think about that. The same Holy Spirit, the same power of that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and I right now. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And so one day when that trumpet sounds, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to be activated in our lives in such a way that God is going to restore our bodies back to what he intended us to be. Come on, church. Yeah. It's the power of God. And the cool thing is, we don't have to wait. We have to wait for the resurrection of our bodies, but the power of the Holy Spirit's already living in us, already working in our lives. Yeah. So I'm gonna ask and answer a few questions about our resurrected bodies and about heaven, okay? So let's have a little fun with this, and let's use our imaginations a little bit, all right? And so a few questions that you know, people often ask me about these kind of things. The first one is this: will we continue to be the same person we are now? I mean, am I going to die and then just wake up in heaven and not remember anything and be a totally different person? Okay? Well, read this, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11. Jesus says, I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast. Watch this. With Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Okay? So apparently in heaven, the same Abraham that was alive here on earth is going to be Abraham in heaven. Right? Does that make sense? And Isaac, who lived on earth, is going to be Isaac in heaven. And Jacob, who was Jacob on earth, is going to be Jacob in heaven. And Tim, here on earth, I'm still going to be Tim in heaven. And you're still going to be you in heaven. You know, God created each and every one of us so uniquely. There's no one in the world that's like you. There's no one in the world, think about this, that has the same fingerprints as you. That's how unique you are. There's no one in the world that has your same DNA. There's no one like you. Not even identical twins are really totally identical. Every person is a unique individual created by God. And that individual uniqueness is going to carry on into heaven. All right? But how cool is this part? Because some of you are like, well, man, there's some things I really don't want to be like me. Anybody else here? All right? So here's the cool thing. All the good things about you are just going to get better. And all the things you're not so proud of are going to be transformed by Jesus Christ. Amen? Oh, what a cool thought that is. All right? Now, again, you don't have to wait till heaven to get there. You can let God start working on your life right now, too, right? Yes, yes. So, yeah, we're going to continue. And that also means this. Another question is, are we going to know each other? Are we going to know each other in heaven? The answer to that is yes. You're going to know your loved ones. Some of you have parents in heaven, grandparents in heaven. We're going to know one another. Everybody knows Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, just from the example Jesus gave us there. So we're going to know one another in heaven. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and other places where Paul is writing to the church about having hope in the resurrection, he tells them to encourage one another with the resurrection, that your loved ones. So it's not very encouraging if we say, yeah, you're going to go to heaven, you're just not going to know anybody. Right? We're going to know one another. We're going to know our loved ones. How about this? It's more of a practical thing. What age are we going to be? How old am I going to be in heaven? 29. Just like you are right now. Yeah. Yeah, well, the Bible doesn't really tell us, what age we're going to be. All I would say is that we're probably going to be whatever age for each one of us, whatever is our prime, right? That's probably the age we're going to be. We're going to be our prime. But the reality is, age is going to be inconsequential in heaven, right? because we're not going to continue to age like we do in this life. And so our age is not going to really matter anymore. Someone say amen to that. Yeah. How about this? Are we going to eat and drink in heaven? We're going to eat and drink in heaven. Revelation 19:9 says this, "Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." Oh yeah, we're going to eat. We're going to feast, folks. Yeah. And there's going to be good food in heaven. Imagine that. There's going to be good food in heaven, but it's all going to be good for you. Yeah, it's going to be great. Good food, all really good for us. Yeah. And we're going to be doing stuff. We'll get to this. So you're going to burn off calories in heaven. Don't worry about getting fat. God's not going to let that happen. Okay? Yes. How about this one? Are we going to wear clothes in heaven? Some have, some people have suggested that, well, you know, before sin came into the world, Adam and Eve, they didn't have clothes in the Garden of Eden. And so we're not going to have clothes in heaven. But remember, folks, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were the only ones there. Right? So no, heaven is not going to be an eternal nudist colony. We're gonna wear clothes in heaven. Revelation 7:9 says this, "I looked and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and before the Lamb." By the way, let me just pause right there. Apparently, we're going to have different skin colors and different races in heaven still. So I guess God really does love diversity. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. Listen, church, we're not to be dividers of race. We're to be uniters of race. Because in Jesus Christ, we're all one. Yeah. And then it says, they will be wearing white robes. And they were holding palm branches in their hands, all right? So there's clothing. Now, we can't take from this that you're only wearing the time or you're only going to wear white, right? Because everybody knows you don't wear white after Labor Day. So probably have different kinds of clothes, you know, different colors. There'll probably be a variety of clothing. So we're going to be dressed. How about this? Will we have emotions in heaven? Because for a lot of people, they see our emotions through the lens of our fallenness. So emotions, you know, have led people to make some really poor decisions in their life. And we've been hurt sometimes by our own emotional responses or the emotional responses of other people. And so for some people, they just think, well, let's just, you know, let's just put an end to all that stuff. But I want to just remind all of you that emotions are actually not evil in and of themselves. They're actually a gift from God. You know, God is emotional. God has emotions. And we're created in the image of God. So yes, we do have emotions. So imagine, though, our emotions as redeemed emotions. So we're going to have all kinds of feelings in heaven, and all of them are going to be good. Amen? Jesus said in Luke 6:21, he said, "Blessed are those who weep now, for you will laugh." You're going to laugh in heaven. There's going to be lots of laughter in heaven. Okay, so it's going to be a lot of emotion, all good, all redeemed by the Lord. How about this question? Will we sin in heaven? Have you ever worried about, like, getting 100 years into it and, like, you're the guy that blows it for everybody else? No, folks. The Bible describes heaven as a place of eternal moral perfection. No more sin. In fact, there's not even going to be temptation in heaven. Not going to be tempted to sin. Because our fallen nature, is going to be completely dealt with. And Satan, the instigator of temptation, he's going to be cast in the lake of fire. He's going to be nowhere near us. And so not only is there not going to be sin in heaven, there's not even going to be the slightest hint of temptation in heaven. And it's going to be that way forever and ever. We're never going to have to deal with sin and temptation again. No guilt, no shame, none of that stuff. Or the consequences of sin. So no poverty, no racism, no lying politicians, no violence, no mass shootings, no wars, no abuse, no rape, no slander, not even backbiting, none of it. This is not going to be a part of our life, our experience forever and ever and ever. Amen. All right, now, what are we going to do in heaven? I mean, eternity is a long time, right? And there are some people that picture heaven as spending an eternity sitting on a cloud playing a harp. If that's your idea of fun, have at it. But I'm probably going to do some different stuff. Matthew 5, verse 23, Jesus says this. He says, well done. This is part of a parable. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Everybody say joy. Yeah. Heaven's going to be a place of joy. So if your idea of joy is sitting on a cloud playing a harp, enjoy yourself. So we don't know exactly what we're going to be doing. We know a few things. We know this. We know we're going to get some rest. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Heaven's going to be a place where we get to rest. Revelation 14, 13 says, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, says the Spirit. They will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. Yeah, so we're going to rest. Are we going to work? I believe we're going to work. Remember that even before sin came into the world, Adam and Eve already worked. God made them responsible, gave them the responsibility of taking care of the Garden of Eden. And so they had work, but their work was not laborious. It was not burdensome. Their work actually gave them a sense of accomplishment and a sense of joy. So I have no reason to believe that we won't work in heaven. I believe we're going to have work that we do in heaven, but it's not going to be laborious. It's not going to be wearisome. We're not going to feel like, you know, we're under a taskmaster. We got to make a paycheck. You're not going to need any more paychecks. You're going to work for the joy of it in heaven. It's going to be awesome. Are we going to have homes in heaven? Well, yes. Jesus told his disciples, remember, I go there to prepare a place for you. He said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. So, yes, we're going to have homes in heaven. And furthermore, we're going to invite people to our homes, and we're going to get invited by other people to their homes. Okay, listen to this. Check this out. Luke chapter 19 and verse 6, or 16 rather, in verse 9. Luke 16, 9, Jesus said this, listen to this. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. In other words, be nice to people now, and they'll invite you to dinner in heaven. Okay? Treat people well. You're going to spend eternity with them. Okay? So we're going to invite people to our homes. We're going to be invited over. Of course, one of the things we're going to do in heaven that's going to be so awesome is there's going to be great times of worshiping the Lord, worshiping Jesus. By the way, man, our worship team, what a time of worship this morning. Amen? Yeah. As much as I love our worship team and love worship here at Bethel Church, I'm just telling you, man, it's just going to go up a notch in heaven, folks. Worship in heaven is going to be absolutely amazing. And wow, you know, Jesus is here every Sunday we come together because he says, where there's two or three gathered, I'm in my name, I'm there. So he's here. But like there, like you're going to actually see him there. Right? And just worship him and love him. It's going to be amazing. Be great times of worship. It's going to be great gatherings and banquets. We already mentioned that. Heaven is going to be anything but boring, guys. Right? And it'll go on for eternity, and you'll never get bored. People are going to learn how to play musical instruments in heaven, the Bible says. People are going to learn how to sing in heaven. There's no reason to believe that there won't be amazing artwork in heaven, sculptures and painting, all kinds of natural beauty to explore. If you love going on hikes, you're going to love heaven. It's going to be amazing, amazing places to go on hikes, wonderful recreation. Now, here's the question I know you've all really been wondering. Will there be golf in heaven? Of course there's going to be golf in heaven. The Bible says it's a holy place, so... Yes. Now, some of us suggested that since we're going to be perfect, every time you hit the golf club, it's going to go in the hole. Hole in one every shot. Now, I don't think it's that way because, I mean, that would get boring after a while. Like, if you go up and hit it, you just know it's going to go in the hole. So, man, I know this is deep stuff, the deep theology here. Just because you have a perfected body and a perfected mind, that doesn't mean every golf shot's going to be perfect, right? So the difference is, though, when you miss that putt, you're only going to have good thoughts. So, yes, I believe we're going to play lots of golf in heaven. There's going to be beautiful, amazing golf courses. You say, Pastor Tim, where is that in the Bible? It's not, but just let me have my fantasy world, okay? So besides golf, there's going to be all kinds of recreation in heaven. Limitless places to explore. We're going to work. We're going to dance. We're going to laugh. We're going to sing. We're going to play. It's going to be amazing. Come on. It's going to be a place of limitless possibility and unending joy. That's what God has in store for his people. All right, let me give you three takeaways here. Three takeaways. Number one, take comfort in knowing that you will be reunited with your loved ones in the Lord. Yesterday, I had the privilege of attending a memorial service for a great man of God named Lee Saunders. And Lee was one of the sweetest, most gentlemanly Christians you'd ever meet. Pastored in our community for many years. Really great, wonderful man of God. Tomorrow, I'm going to attend another memorial service for Pastor Ron Marsh, who's another retired minister from the Grants Pass area. Went to be with the Lord a few weeks ago. And what great joy as we attend these memorial services. What great joy in knowing we're going to see these people that we love. We're going to see them again someday. Amen? Our parents, our grandparents. Some of you have children waiting for you in heaven. Yeah. Number two, take joy in knowing that your trials and temptations won't last forever. Your trials and temptations, they're not going to last forever. Listen, guys, we all have struggles. We have problems in this world, for sure. But remember this. You are going to outlive all your problems. You are. You're going to outlive all of your problems. They're going to be a thing of the past someday. Distant memory. Hallelujah. Take joy in that. And then thirdly, oh, got a quote about taking joy in our trials. Don't want to miss that. Josh McDowell. No matter how devastating our struggles, disappointments, and troubles are, they are only temporary. No matter what happens to you, no matter the depth of tragedy or pain you face, no matter how death stalks you or your loved ones, the resurrection promises you a future of immeasurable good. Yeah. And then number three is this: live your life with the eternal in mind. With the eternal in mind. So we live in the here and now, but we don't live our lives for the here and now only, right? We live much more for what is coming, for what God has for us. We live with the eternity in mind. And remember this, guys, we're all going to stand before Jesus someday and give an account for our lives. Once in a while, you'll hear a Christian, you'll hear a preacher say, we're not going to be judged. As a Christian, you're not going to be judged. Come on, church. Read your Bible. We are going to be judged for how we lived our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9 says this: so we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things we've done in the body, whether good or bad. Now listen, this is not a judgment for sin. Our sin's already been dealt with by Jesus on the cross, right? Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation, say no condemnation, for those who are in Christ Jesus. Our sin has been dealt with. You don't have to worry about that, okay? But we are going to be judged for what we've done with what God has given to us. We're going to stand before God. We're going to give an answer for our lives. And so I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. Between now and that day, give it all to the Lord. Live for him. Serve him. Live with eternity in mind. Right? Because the stuff in this world is going away. Going away. All of it. So live with eternity in mind. Okay. Yeah. Take comfort in knowing that you'll be reunited with your loved ones in the Lord. Take joy in knowing that your trials and temptations will last forever. You're going to outlive your problems and live your life with the eternal in mind. Now, I got to close with this. I love talking about heaven. As you can tell, I love talking about heaven. But it also would be good for us to remember today as we get ready to pray. Not everybody's going to heaven. Not everybody's going to heaven. The Bible says that every person is an eternal being. You have an eternal soul. And every person will spend eternity in one of two places, either in heaven, created by God for his people, or in the lake of fire, which God created for the devil and his angels. We'll all spend eternity in one of those two places. And Jesus said there's only one way to get to heaven. And he said, I'm it. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He says, I am the way. He didn't say I'm one of many ways. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so I want to invite you today, if you've not made peace with God, if you've not given your life to Christ and put your trust for your eternity, put your trust in Jesus, I want to lead you in a prayer this morning before we leave this place. I'm going to ask everybody if you'd bow your heads with me and close your eyes. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up on the platform. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in life. You're going to make a lot of important decisions in life. Whether to go to college or not, what you're going to do for a living, who you're going to marry, having children, not having children. You're going to make a lot of big decisions in your life. But there is none. The most important decision you're ever going to make is the decision that you make about Jesus Christ. What are you going to do with the Lord? What are you going to do with the Lord? And I just want to ask you to be honest with yourself. If you were to die today, or if Jesus were to come back today, Are you ready? Are you ready to stand before God? Are you going to be welcomed into God's heaven? As you've seen this morning, God has so many wonderful things planned for you, in store for you. But the decision's up to you. Will you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and in his cross and his resurrection? Because it's the only way to be saved. So in just a moment, I want to lead us in a prayer. I'm going to count to three. I'm just going to go one, two, three. When I get to the number three, if you're here today or if you're watching online and today you want to get things right with God, you want to pray to receive Christ into your life, you want to put your trust in Jesus and the price he's paid for your sins, and you want to know that you're going to heaven, listen, it's not a coin toss. It's not a matter of saying, I hope I make it. Man, don't trust your eternity in just like hoping you're going to make it. You can know right now with certainty that you have eternal life. But the only way to know is through Christ and through Christ alone. And listen, it's not through me. It's not through Bethel Church. It's not through any church. It's not by becoming a member of a church. It's not by deciding to live a better life. None of those things saves any of us. Jesus is the only way. And so I'm going to count to three. When I get to three, if today you want to be included in this prayer to open up your heart, open up your life to Jesus, when I get to three, I want to ask you to just raise your hand. Just do me a favor, raise your hand, and you're just letting me know, Tim, today I'm ready. Today I want to open my heart to Christ. Now you might be here and you might be thinking, well, there's a lot of unanswered questions that I have. That's fine. That's fine. Man, when I gave my life to Christ, I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything except for the fact that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. And if you know that much today, you're ready to open your life to Christ. So I'm going to count to three. When I get to three, if you want to be included in this prayer, raise your hand up. One, two, three. Yeah, awesome, awesome. God bless you, sir. God bless you, young man. Anybody else? Today's your day. Give the Lord a chance. Let him into your life. Any others today? Just sensing today. Someone's wrestling with this. God bless you. God bless you. Yeah. You're just wrestling with it. And it's time. It's time to stop fighting God and surrender to him. Any others today? All right. Several of you, you've had your hands up. You can put your hands down. God bless you. Put your hands down. I'm going to lead you in a prayer in church. Would you pray with those that have responded today? Pray after me. We're going to pray out loud. Okay, I'm going to pray out loud. It's the biggest, best decision you've ever made. Pray with me. Father in heaven, I bring my heart to you today. God, I need you in my life. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. And Lord, I believe you've risen from the dead. So Lord, I open the door of my heart. Please come into my life. Please forgive my sins. I want to follow you and serve you for all eternity. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, right now I pray for those who prayed that prayer with me, those that are in person, those that are at home. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that your Holy Spirit will fill them with your power. Give them life, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that they'd just be encouraged in you today. They would know that if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creature, a new creation. The old has passed away and everything's become new by simple faith in you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Give him thanks this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you stand to your feet this morning? And the worship team's going to lead us in a in a great song of praise. Come on, give him thanks.